It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 42nd verse of Scripture in the 5th chapter of Matthew. And so you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. So glad that you've been able to join us today, and I would like to share with you that the location of the church is at, again, Parkview Bible Church in Hamilton, 18th and Church Street. But if you'd like to write to us, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us on the phone, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we've got many studies there, and I'd love for you to look at them and enjoy them and just hopefully come to know the Lord Jesus if you don't, and then grow in closer and closer to Him if you do know Him. And as well, then, you could sure email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one is just fine. Love to hear from you. And again, don't be concerned that we're going to write back unless you ask. If you have a prayer request or you make some comment or something about the study, I'd love to hear from you. But I will not respond unless you want me to, because I know how that is. And we have never nor ever will ask for one single dime over this radio program or through any correspondence that we would have. The church is the support of this ministry that we have, and that alone. And so please, I hope that you feel welcome to contact us. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's the end of that 5th chapter. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and to study your precious word. We love these verses. There's so much in there to see, to learn, and to know. So I just ask that you would guide and lead us through these verses of Scripture today. Speak to our hearts. We know that when we come by faith to you, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within our heart. And so we just thank you that then we have the great teacher. As preachers preach, as we study your word, we have the opportunity to seek your will and way because you are in our hearts. Father, thank you for that precious gift of salvation, and thank you that you come to live within our hearts, and thank you for keeping us then, sealing us for eternity. Thank you. Now please guide and lead us and speak to the hearts and those that do not know you as their Savior, that through today's study that they will come to know that peace and joy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at that 42nd verse, it's everything here is kind of set up on the judicial system. It's a judge is involved in deciding the outcome. And as that is decided, why then we are to give over and above what's asked. And that's very difficult to do because each time we think that maybe we don't, they don't deserve what we're going to hand to them or give to them. But whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. And then verse 42, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. It is always better to give. We kind of decide sometimes who is deserving or who is undeserving. Are they going to buy food or buy beer, buy drugs? What are they going to do with it? That's always a question. It's always good when someone has need and they say they need groceries, things like that. It's always best that you just take them to the store and you buy them groceries, things that are good for them, as milk and bread and your basics, and not the extras, and especially not the cigarettes and alcohol and all those things. If they have those bad habits, you don't need to be a part of it. And so please do that. That's a good way, instead of just handing them money. Sometimes that doesn't work. And just trust the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, trust His will and His way, and give accordingly. But sometimes it's very difficult, because sometimes there are people that are just kind of lazy. They're not willing to work. They just would rather beg, borrow, or steal than work. And that's where God's judgment and His wisdom must come in. Because it tells us here, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So we need to ask the Lord's direction. We need to be a help to them. And sometimes if we just give to them, and not connect it with, hey, I've got this chore, I've got this work that needs to be done, let's work it out, because I'm more than happy to pay you for this work. And many times they just say, oh, that'll be fine, and then never return. Because, you see, they want a handout. They're too lazy to work. So I ask that you give God His glory and trust in His wisdom, and give accordingly. 1 Timothy here, chapter 5, the 8th verse, it says, and if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It's important that we work. There is not one job, I don't care how lowly you might think it is, that it is above our ability, that I'm not going to lower myself down to do that. You'd rather go on welfare, you'd rather ask for handouts than to do some sort of job. See that you don't do that, and especially if you're a believer, the last thing we should do, and that is to take a handout. Now, sometimes there is an opportunity that we need it, and folks want to help and want to give to you, and it's always gracious to receive as well as it is in giving. But at the same time, see that the person that you're giving it to is not taking it, taking advantage of you. And so you can see what God thinks of someone that's lazy and doesn't take care of his family. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if ye would not work, neither should you eat. That's clear. Now, some people can't. physically or mentally can't work. At the same side of that, there is very few that they can't. There's something they can do. Something they can. They can not just receive, but they can return it in some manner or another. Maybe at a small portion in relationship to what they're receiving. It doesn't matter. It what matters is their heart and their desire to help and to work. So don't forget that 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If any would not work, neither does he eat. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. Let's look at Hebrews. There's several good verses of Scripture here. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 3. Hebrews 13, 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. So, you see, just because someone lacks and has nothing, depend upon the Lord for your wisdom and understanding. And if they say, if they really, you know, if I look at an individual, and maybe some family members have had some very serious health problems, and they've got a lot of doctor bills. The factory closed, and so there's the regular job that they had isn't there anymore, and they've tried to work where they can, but there's great need there. And then again, here it's bonds are as bound with them. Suffer adversity. Be understanding, my friend. Be understanding. Take your time. Make the good decision on how to help and when to help. And those that possibly do not deserve your help because they're just plain lazy. Don't work, you don't eat. Verse 43. Once again, these same words. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That is a difficult one, isn't it? Back in Leviticus 19:18, we love to go back here in the Word of God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Question was raised, who's my neighbor? Let's look over here at the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. And as we read this verse of Scripture, just listen carefully. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. He said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Of course, see, the problem is with this attorney here, why he questioned a few things. So, but he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man," it's a parable, "a certain man went down from Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came certain priests that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You see, that was a sad day, because there was a priest, and then there was a Levite, and then there was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan is the one that was looked down upon. But the rest of them, they weren't about to touch this wounded body. And so they just went on about their business. And so his question was, "Who's thy neighbor?" Well, the one that showed mercy. So that should help us to understand back here when the scripture says, "Love thy neighbor." And of course, again, back here, this lawyer wanted to know, "Well, who's my neighbor, so I know how to be, who to be kind to." And basically, our neighbor is everyone. They put limitations on their neighbors. And so they also looked upon all Gentiles as their enemies. They called them dogs. And so there was much anger against the Gentiles, the Jews to Gentiles. And so Jesus here is trying to show that they're all my children. Now, because they're all born through Adam, God created Adam. Now, they don't all possess salvation because they have not all taken care of that sin problem and trusted in the Lord Jesus and accepted that offering that Jesus did upon the cross, took their sins away when he died on that cross and shed his precious blood and then rose again. Not only took their sins away, but gave them life. What a wonderful, wonderful day. So it's so important that we understand that when we're talking here and when we come through with these verses of Scripture here, and it says, love your enemy. I've heard that it had been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor." Well, there was where that question came from, because that question arose, "Who's my neighbor?" We found out who's the neighbor, and that is that anyone that has need, or if you have need. So everyone is your neighbor. And then the rest of it says, "Hate thine enemy." Well, the Lord Jesus is going to change that. It's easy to love who you'd think your neighbor, maybe your best friend, folks like that. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Oh, that's quite a responsibility. And one has kind of divided it, and I think in a very nice way for us to understand. This word love, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." There's two means of that. One is a love of complacency, and the other is a love of benevolence. Now, the love of complacency is the most common. It produces feelings which allows that person to approve of the conduct of their neighbor or their fellow man or the person down the street. But the love of benevolence wishes good upon a person, but cannot approve of that person's conduct. Cannot approve of that person's conduct. And so, being born again, trusting the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we should be able to listen, to love our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. How is that possible? How is it possible to love those that hurt you, those that injure you physically, mentally? How can we love them? Once again, we need to understand that they are God's children, not in the sense of salvation, of being saved, but every child that is born has come from the line of Adam. God has miraculously created Adam. God has miraculously worked out the natural means and ways of giving birth to children. And as we look down here in verse 45, it's kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but maybe this will help you some. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends in the rain on the just and the unjust. If our God died on the cross, and he did, for every single individual that's ever lived, took all their sin away. But we must come by faith to him, believing that that took our sin away. And when we do that, then we truly become a child of God. We are redeemed, we're set free, our sins are forgiven. Different than you're just a natural birth. The reason I read verse 45 is because look what our God, with his love, will do. He allows the sun to be on the evil and on the good. He allows it to rain on the evil and on the good. Can you imagine that God the Father's Son died on the cross for everyone, and yet the majority of people today and in the past and will be in the future spit in God's face, refuse to believe, curse his name, and yet he still loves them, offers his son for salvation, still allows the sun to shine on them and the rain to fall on them. He hates their sin, despises their sin. That's the reason he sent his son and allowed him to go to the cross and die on that cross, shedding his blood for you and for me. He doesn't wink at that. And if they refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, they will be held accountable. Because there's only one way to avoid the judgment hand of God, the wrath of God, and that is to trust in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we love someone that hates us and despitefully uses us? How can we do that? Only by the power of God. God gives us that strength. God gives us that wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be different than the world. Because the world, see, if you do something to somebody, well, they'll hate you and despise you and curse you and everything else. That's where we are different. Because we, as our Lord, need to love our enemy. How is this possible? Jesus loves the wicked, but he does not love the wickedness of the wicked, their bad language, their bad habits. We must speak kindly to them. We must return good for evil. Let's go to Romans chapter 17. Chapter 12, verse 17. I think we'd have time to read this. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He'll take care of it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. To love a person who has abused you is most difficult. But it is the highest test of a true Christian. When they can continue to abuse you, speak evil of you, and again, you hate what they're doing. God hates what they're doing. God hates the way they talk, the way they act, the things they do. But God loves them. He loved him so much that he allowed his Son to die for every single person, whether they're going to trust in him or not. And once again, as we looked at verse 45, the sun and the rain both fall on the good and the evil both. It's not easy to bless a man that curses you. It's not easy to help a man that maybe has robbed you. There are times when a person is so wicked that it's best just to not say anything. Because there are times when there's so many evil, evil people. Many of them are demon-possessed. And there's nothing that can really be said. But we still need to lift them up in prayer, that the Spirit of God can get a hold of their hearts, change their life, make them new again, born again. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. We've got some verses of Scripture we're going to look up next time. Psalms, 2 Peter, Nahum, and Ezekiel. But please, my dear friend, I want you to examine your own heart. And the question comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?